Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Matthew chapter 24, reading at verse 36. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and the signs of the end. And he comes down to verse 36 and he says, "But concerning the day or the hour, no one knows." And he talked about the day or the hour of his return. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. Sorry, reading for the English Standard Version. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Notice, they weren't aware until the flood swept them away. So the water was coming, the rain was coming. I'm not supposed to say rain, but the condensation from above was coming down. And they weren't cluing in. It was like a regular day to them until the waters began to rise and it began to sweep them away, right? It says, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So then, is the faithful and wise servant. Who then is a faithful wise servant? Jesus said, who his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant who his master will find doing, blessed is the servant that the master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if the wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces. That shocked me. Cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some versions say weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's interesting as Jesus is trying to let everyone know what the day is going to be like, what the season is going to be like, or what it's going to be like at his return. And he referenced it to Noah and the flood. Notice, and those of you who are aware of the story of Noah and the flood, where God told Noah to build the ark and to warn the people that a flood is coming. No doubt thought, you're joking. How long did it take for him to build the ark? Anybody know? Don't say with confidence. 40 years? It took him a long time to build the ark, right? So think of depending how old you are, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even 40 years ago, right? That's how long it was taking him to build the ark. At the same time, telling them, like, flood's coming. Turn around. Get your life together. But they were carrying on life like it didn't matter. Right, they were going to the movies, they were on social media, they're getting up in the morning, going to work. Even says they're marrying, giving into marriage. There was no change in behavior, right? They just kept doing what they're doing, no change in behavior. And it was not only that no change in behavior, but there was no change in their heart. There wasn't even a change in the heart to say, you know what, maybe I need to pay attention, maybe I need to get this together, maybe I need to deal with these things that are hindering me from paying attention to the fact that this flood is coming. And so when the scripture says that, that they basically indicating that they realized that it was true when the flood was sweeping them away. That's when they thought, I wonder if Noah was telling them. But it was too late. They're already being swept away in the water. And while they're drinking water, going down and coming up for a gasp of air, they're now thinking, oh no, this is what he talked about. This is true. And Jesus says, hey, it's going to be the same way when it's coming. The same behavior. Going through life, just having life and do what we want to do, not being concerned, thinking that we're going to live a long time, right? Thinking that we're going to survive the day, thinking that it's going to, you know, he's taken this time already. He's not coming back for now, and not heeding the warning of being ready, of making sure we're ready, getting the things in our heart and our mind, you know, out of the way, get making it right with individuals. Because he said the same way it's going to be as it is happening and as Jesus is coming or has come, that's when people are going to think, oh no, this is true. This is real. And they never made the change. When the Son of Man comes, he's going to judge the earth, the Bible says. He's going to gather his angels. The Bible says they're going to gather them from the different areas of the world, and talks about, you know, the fact that two people may be together, one's taken, one's left, right? I'm not sure those of you, you know, who kind of grew up in church, we watched a movie way back when called The Thief in the Night. You know, back then the movie was so scary, like as kids, five of us, we would all sleep together. That's how scary it was. It was about Jesus coming and you were left behind. And I never forget one scene where, you know, the girl, the main character, would come into a house and there was a pot on the stove. And the stove and the pot, like the water had dried out, and now the pot was starting to smoke, right? And the person who was cooking got raptured, and the girl who got left came in and saw the pot. And I remember coming home from school one day and coming into the kitchen and seeing that there's a pot on the stove and the water's dried out, and oh no, and not realizing that my sister wasn't paying attention to the stove. But it was that heart attack feeling of, oh my goodness, right? What did I not pay attention to, right? Not that surety of, yeah, I should have been gone. Like, it's not the rapture. Jesus doesn't come back because I'm still here. It was, oh no. Because I knew within myself that I wasn't living right. I knew within my heart that I was doing my own thing. I was one person in front of the church, right? I was one person in front of everybody. But behind the scenes, I was a totally different person, one of my friends. And Jesus gave the indication that these two people working together, they may know each other. One's taken, one's left. Right? Two women who've been working together could be friends. Some indicate that's family who go into the mill, and all of a sudden one's taken, one's left. Right? And the shock of the person that's left. But Jesus then goes to the fact of talking about this is going to be like a thief in the night. Thief in the night. No one knows when the thief is coming. Because if the thief warned you, like, we set up for that thief. I don't know about you, but I have a camera out in front of my house. And sometimes before I'm going to bed, I'll sit there just looking, hoping that I would catch someone. Different times you see people come to check the car doors, you know, to see if the car doors are open. You know, and, you know, a couple months ago, I saw like four guys all dressed in black going from driveway to driveway. Like, you know, just checking car doors, just coming around, just quietly walking. See them on the camera. It was after the fact, of course. But, and then to find out my neighbor's door was open and it just changed. It didn't ruin anything or steal anything. Like, I mean, there's just old change that he had in there, like $1.50, whatever change or something. But if you were prepared, sometimes I just wish I could be prepared. And you know what the first thing that goes to my mind is? I have a machete in the garage. That would be the first thing I would grab and just run and chase them. Not even catch them, just chase them. Let them remember, do not come on Bates Court and think this is a mad black man with a machete. Let the word get around, right? But it's that thief that comes that you don't know. You ever been violated that way? Whether it's your house or your possessions, someone steals something and you wish you could catch them, right? Or you're looking for it as you're driving, whatever, trying to see if you can find someone with it. Just want to catch that thief. Because they come and do it at a time when you're not ready, when you're not prepared. And Jesus says, that's how his coming is going to be like. No one's going to know. No one's going to know. And the Bible says, Jesus says, no one knows except for the Father, right? Angels don't know. Jesus himself says he doesn't know, right? I questioned that for years. Like, how could Jesus not know? But you know how compassionate Jesus is? I don't know if Jesus would want to warn people. It's coming up tomorrow, but he said, no, the Father knows. Perfect time. And God's not going to do it just to get you. He's not going to do it like, let me just wait until he's doing this. Let me just wait until she's doing that. And now let me get. God warns. He warns. And he shows us gently reminders in service, at home, by yourself. He's telling you, get your life ready. Stay in touch with me. Stay in tune with me. Let nothing distract you. And then he gets to the point where he talks about these two servants. Now, these are two believers. These are two servants. These are two believers. He's not talking about those who aren't saved. He's talking about two people that are servants. Jesus is the master, and these are the two servants. He talks about a faithful, wise servant and a wicked servant. He's talking about the church. I know we think it's all the people out there, right? It's all the sinners that are out there that don't know Jesus. It's all them that God's going to deal with. But he keeps trying to speak to the church to say, hey, there's some of you who are faithful and you're wise, and there's some of you who are wicked. They're both servants. But when you're thinking that the master's not watching, and the master is delayed, you do what you want to do. That's how you want to live. Because you think you got time. You think you can fool around. You keep fooling around. You keep playing the game until it catches up to you. But I want you to focus, and I'll end with this, where he ends at the last verse. He says, they're going to be put into outer darkness where the hypocrites go. Right? These are those who pretended. While they're here, they pretended in church, they pretended with the family, they pretended that they had it all together, that they were serving God so faithfully, but God knew their heart. He says, they go where the hypocrites go. And he says, in that place, that outer darkness, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When I looked up weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know what that means? That there'll be some who will be weeping because they're so sorrowful, right? People who weep, they're so sorrowful. There's so much sorrow in them because they realize that, man, I could have and I didn't. And I'm so sorry. But I'm not, there's no, I can't turn around. I can't change. And there's a weeping. He says, those people who said they were Christians, but they were hypocrites, he said, they're going to be weeping. There's so much sorrow that I could have changed at this point. I know God spoke to me at that point. Jesus, give me another chance. I'm so sorry. So then there'll be those who'll be wailing. And wailing are those who are going through trauma. Right? They wail because there's so much grief that's in them that they just scream it out. They just cry it out. They don't care who's around them. They don't care how loud they are because they're in such trauma. They're in such shock. Like, oh my goodness, this is real. I had the opportunity to change and I didn't. And now I'm in hell forever. No, this couldn't have happened. And they wail. He talks about the gnashing of teeth. You know who these people are? These are people who are angry. The Bible talks of the gnashing of teeth. Those are people like, God, how could you? How could you do this? why did you worry? Why didn't you, like, and they're so angry at God. And Jesus says, yeah, there'll be those that will be in hell, will be weeping because they're sorrowful. They had the opportunity, they did it. Those who are wailing because they're so traumatized at the fact that this is true and they never change. And those will be angry at God. How could you? How dare you? Thought you were God of grace. I thought you were God of chances. How come you didn't? Jesus says that's how it's going to be. So I want to encourage you and join in with Jesus in warning you to get whatever needs to be gotten right. God's speaking to you about it. That's what he does. He speaks to about you about it. You know, it's the secret stuff. It's the stuff we're holding on to, the people that we're against. Like he's speaking to you right now about what it may be. And what we're good at is thinking about what our comeback is with God. Well, you know, she didn't, or no, he didn't, or maybe because we're trying to determine what the excuse is, why we're not going to do what he's asking us to do. And I want to encourage you to not let anything stand in the way of that. Not your pride, not the situation, not the individual, but nothing stand in the way of doing what God has called you to do. Because it's going to be heartbreaking when we show up in heaven and we see on the other side those who thought were faithful are committed. And they're not rejoicing with us in heaven. So let God speak to you. Decide today, even if you need to speak to someone, confess to someone, have someone pray with you. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need to do, and I don't know how to do it, but God has shown me that I need to make this decision, this choice. We're here to pray with you. We're here to show you and to lead you and to encourage you, but for us to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that, you know, there be no one in Dayspring that would be lost. Like, I want us to be like the only church that has everybody there. Yeah. I want Jesus to say, and then there's Dayspring, who, you know, they're all sheep, they're no goats. Like, everybody made it, right? Because God, the Bible says, wipes all tears from our eyes. And some of those tears, I think, will be the sorrow we feel when we know that a loved one is not with us in heaven. So let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you for sending your son. We thank you that you have a plan for us, that this is not our final home. And there will be billions and billions of years that we will be.